1 Corinthians chapter 16, again, we're trying to conclude the book of 1 Corinthians. I thought it would be quicker than this. I told you last week, or a couple of weeks ago, I thought we would get through the whole chapter in just a couple of weeks, and the Lord just keeps slowing things down. And tonight we're just going to cover two verses, verse 13 and 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Here in 1 Corinthians 16, we've already talked about the three greatest resources of the church. And just to reiterate that a little bit, the three great resources of the church are money, not number one in order, but of the three, there's money. Number two, there are opportunities. Number three, there are people. And that's what we've seen in the first 12 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the collection for the saints at the beginning. The opportunities and the opposition that Paul saw, but down in verse 7, 8, and 9. And then the people, beginning in verse 10 with Timotheus, and then verse 12, Apollos. And again, it goes on in the rest of the chapter and talks about Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaeus. When we get to verse number 13, we enter into something different than what we've been looking at. We have, in verse 13 and 14, some practical comments. Paul makes some practical comments. Verse 15 to 18, next time we'll see some personal comments. And there again, he refers to the household of Stephanus and to Fortunatus and Achaeus. So practical comments, personal comments, and then in verse 19 to 24 will be parting comments. Some of the last words of the Apostle Paul as he closes out his first letter to the Corinthians. But this evening, we're looking at those practical comments in verse 13 and 14, and notice them if you would. Paul writes and says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, Father, feed us tonight from your word. God, we're a needy and a hungry people. And Father, we're bombarded all around us with temptations and, Father, false teachings and, temptations to compromise. And Father, I pray we'd take these words of Paul as a heeding tonight. Lord, help us to see in them a step of correction that's needed for the church and for us individually. And Father, help us to take these things to heart that we might be faithful unto you in all the things that we do. Strengthen your church tonight through the preaching of your word, for that which you do will give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. As Paul begins his practical comments here in verse 13 and 14, he gives five commands for today's Christian. That's the title of my message tonight, Five Commands for Today's Christian. You'll notice in verse 13 and 14, he says five things. He says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong," and then number five, "let all things be done with charity." I might point out to you that, as I've heard before, every list in the Bible is in some kind of order. It's either in a progressive order or a degressive order, going uphill, downhill, some way. But every list in the Bible, anytime you're reading your Bible and come across a list, look for the importance of it. God is giving that list for some reason. God doesn't just throw things together haphazardly. And I believe we'll see in this list tonight, we'll see these five steps that if we begin to keep God's first command, we'll be empowered to keep the second, and then the third, and then the fourth, and then the highest of the five commands. The letter to the church at Corinth was written within the first 100 years after the death of Christ. But if you didn't know better, and as we'll see tonight, you would have thought that Paul was alive in our day and looking at the scene in the churches around us and the people in the congregations, and upon looking upon the church in the day we live in, he wrote these things, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, and let all things be done with charity." Because not only was the church at Corinth in need of these commands, but the church today, and folks, you and I as individual believers today, are in need of these five commands for today's Christian. Yes, he wrote to the church at Corinth many, many years ago and gave these words, but they're timeless. They are for such a time as this. And we need these commands. I might tell you, put your seatbelt on, because these things are hard.
These things are reality. These things are truth. These things are applicable in the day we live in. Many times we want to read the Bible and we want to relegate everything to history. We want to say, oh, look what he said to that church at Corinth. But all these things are written for our admonition and written for our learning. They're written for reproof and for rebuke and for exhortation. So let's look at Paul's five commands for the Christians in the day at Corinth, and without a doubt, commands for today's Christians also. Number one, be watchful. In verse number 13, he said, watch ye. If there's anything that the believer needed in the day we live in today is we need to be alert. We need to be aware of what's going on around us. Christians today are getting sucked into the modern philosophy of life. They're not watching. You know, when Jesus Christ was here on earth in the Gospels, you found many times Him telling His disciples, watch, 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 watch. Well, it wasn't just the Gospels, because we read in Paul's epistles, we read the same charge. Watch and be strong in all things. Watch. We need to be aware of what's going on around us. We need to be careful. We need to be cautious. Because as believers, this world is against us. As believers, the devil is against us, and we need to watch. We watch so that we can be prepared. Someone has said that a careless Christian will become a defeated Christian. If we're not watching, if we're not looking, the devil comes, the Bible tells us, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We've got to be watchful. We've got to be watchful in our teaching. Look, if you would keep your place here, we'll be back. But look at Acts chapter 20, if you would. Acts chapter 20. There are a multitude of teachers. Now, I'm talking about religious teachers. I'm talking about Christian teachers, if we can use that term broadly. And everybody's buying the latest book that's out there. And everybody wants the newest trend and what the new theology is and what the new teaching and what the new subject and what the new excitement is about within the church. And the Bible tells us we need to be careful. We need to watch these things. Acts chapter 20, look if you would at verse number 29. Paul said to the church at Ephesus, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Verse 31, "Therefore watch. And remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Paul said, "I've taught you for 3 years. I've trained you for 3 years. I've given you the doctrines of the Word of God. Watch and be careful. Because when I leave, false teachers are going to show up. When I leave, false doctrines going to appear. When I'm gone, false teaching is going to prevail in the church." And can I tell you today, that's the same thing that's happening. The church is under attack by false teachings. Just because someone you trust and like says something doesn't make it right. Now, you know me well enough to know I'm not excluding myself from that statement. That's why I try to spend much time prayerfully in prayer and study and research to make sure that what I say is true according to the Word of God. There are a lot of times I'm back there studying and I have a thought and I think, wow, that's good, that'll preach. And then I get researching and find out, well, it's not really scriptural. Now I've got a choice. What do? Go ahead and preach it because it will sound good and I can really preach it? Or do I stick to what the Bible teaches? And I try desperately and I try determinedly to make sure I'm not preaching anything that I don't know the Bible clearly and specifically says. Now there are times that I'll go out on a limb, but I'll tell you I'm going out on a limb when I do it. I'll tell you that this is not in Scripture, but I'm kind of thinking it this way. We talked about that with Timothy this past week one time. But we need to be careful on what we grab. I go into folks' homes and I visit them and I see the Christian books that they've got sitting around on the coffee table and that, and I look at that book and I say, oh me. Because I know who that person is and I know that they have a lot of good things, but I know there's a lot of bad things also. Paul said you've got to beware. You've got to watch and remember. We've got to be careful. We've got to be watchful concerning teaching. We've got to be watchful concerning trends. There are things that are popular that are not necessarily right.
The church, for some reason, is good at jumping onto things. You know, some other church says, well, we're doing this, and they jump on those things, and they don't weigh it by the Word of God. They're not careful to make sure to be watchful. I'm glad tonight we're in a church that has a Sunday night service. You know why? Because some churches have not been watchful. They've not guarded and protected those things that remain. And they've allowed the devil to steal something away from them. Now, I understand a lot of them say, well, the attendance on Sunday night's not what it used to be and not what it ought to be. I understand all that stuff. But that's exactly what Paul's talking about when he says, watch ye. Guard the things that remain. Protect the things that remain. Be careful. Be aware of what the devil's trying to do. And stick to your guns. So Paul says to be watchful. Look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Be watchful in temptation. Be watchful in temptation. Matthew chapter 26. Verse number 41. Notice what Jesus told His disciples as they were in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26 and verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch. 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 You know, the devil knows you better than you know you. The devil is not omniscient. He doesn't know your thoughts. Thank God for that. He doesn't know what you're planning. He just knows what he sees. But what he sees is enough. He knows your weaknesses. He knows what areas he can tempt you. He knows where to shoot those fiery darts of the wicked one. And we need to be careful. For him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. We need to be careful in there. Jesus told his disciples in verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. But notice what he told them, what he had to say to them in verse 40, right before this. He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? You know why they fell into temptation? Because they couldn't watch for 1 hour. Are you looking for the areas that the devil tempts you, that you know that you're weak, so you can strengthen those areas? That's what Paul's talking about to the church at Corinth when he says, be watchful. Be aware, be cautious, be careful, be looking for those areas that you're tempted to back down on. The church is in grave danger today because it's backed away from many of the things that it never should have backed away from. So Paul says, be watchful, watch ye. Look back at 1 Corinthians 16 and notice the second command for today's Christian. After saying, be watchful, watch ye, he says, stand fast in the faith. Not only be watchful, but be faithful. Stand fast in the faith. Paul again is building this ladder, I believe, and warning us that the church is going to drift. The temptation is going to be to get away from the foundation. And so he gives them the warning to stand fast in the faith. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 14. We need to be faithful. We need to stand fast in the faith. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Do not be carried about with every wind of doctrine. Know what your Bible says. Know what the Bible teaches and stick to what the Bible teaches. The Bible is not just only right when people agree with it. It's right when people disagree with it. It's right when you disagree with it. It's still right. But people want to treat the faith as something, well, you know, that's good, that's old-fashioned, that's the way it used to be. No, it's the way it should be. And we need to stand fast. We are losing generations of young people because we don't want to stand fast. We want to
adapt the church and the gospel to the younger generation. And they're finding out it doesn't work. Because once they get of age to leave the home, it's not doing anything more than what the old-time faith once delivered to the saints is doing. And so they're taking the church and modernizing it. They're not standing fast. They're compromising with the world and accompanying the world and bringing it into the church, and it's not making any difference in the long run. It might get a temporary infusion of energy, but it's not doing its job. Paul looked at the church. He said, stand fast. Don't be moved, unmovable. Stand fast.
In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul said, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, the Son of God, Jesus, let us hold fast our profession. Hold fast. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Without wavering. James talked about that one, that double-minded man that was unstable in all his ways, wavering. Know what's right, do what's right, teach what's right. Stand fast, hold to what's right. Don't be tempted to back down. That's the kind of the scene in the church today. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5 that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24, the Bible says, for by faith you stand. For by faith you stand. Paul said, stand fast in the faith. We need to stand to that doctrine once delivered to the saints. We need to hold on to what we know is true by the Word of God and not be watered down. Christianity is drifting. What society accepts, Christianity 20 years down the line accepts also. The social issues that society today is pushing, the church will accept within the next few years. Because they're not standing fast in the faith. Now, we're not doing it to be obstinate. We're not doing it to be disagreeable. We're doing it to be faithful. Because Paul said, stand fast in the faith. Our daily life, we need to stand fast. Paul said a couple of times in the New Testament, stand fast in the Lord. Many are just simply too easily swayed. The world is looking for inconsistencies in our life. They're looking for compromises. If someone lost has known you for 20 years, they want to see a weakness now that wasn't in you 20 years ago. They want to see you backing down from something you once said was wrong and once said was a sin and once believed was right or once believed was right. They want to see you swaying on that thing because that's the way the world is. The world's changing its mind every few years and changing its direction. We need something that's solid. They need something that's solid. They need to look at something that's unchanging. And if they can't find it in Christianity, they're without hope. Paul said, be watchful. He said, be faithful. The psalmist said in Psalm 57 and verse 7, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. Make sure you know what you believe and stand for it. Don't back down on it. I'm saddened when I look at the trends of the church in our day. Modernism came in during the early 1900s, and that's where fundamentalism came in. They set down some five principles of fundamentalism to battle the modernism that was creeping into the church. Well, modernism has overrun the church now. The seminaries and the institutions of higher learning now don't believe, as we preached this morning, on the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. They don't believe He's virgin born. They believe He's a good man. They believe He's sent from God, but they don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe the Bible's the Word of God. They don't believe every word is the Word of God. That's why we've got the plethora of Bible translations and versions, because they don't believe that book's the Word of God. I was looking, someone did some research for 2014 and showed the most popular Bibles as far as being purchased in bookstores, and the King James Version was number 2 on the list. That's pretty good for a 400-year-old book. That was the number 2 Bible on the list. The number 1 was the NIV of 2011. I say of 2011 because it came out in 77, but it's not the same one anymore. They're changing it every so many years. They're trying to introduce those pronouns for God and take away the he's and all that kind of stuff, and they're slowly doing it so that people don't get alarmed by a real quick change. But that's the number one. The King James is number two, and I saw a discussion, you know, on the internet and how they do that. I saw the discussion under it, and people say, well, I prefer, well, I use, well, I like. You know what I noticed? No one said, I believe. Nobody used that word. I believe. You know what I believe since I got saved? I believe that that Bible right there is the very words of God. That every word is exactly like God wants it to be in our English King James Bible. Now, I've been attacked, and I've been confronted, and I've been insulted, and I've been everything else it could be. It doesn't matter to me. It's like water off a duck's back anymore. It doesn't matter. You can say anything. I've been belittled for everything. You know, that's just a dumb, you know, all that. It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to stand on the faith once delivered to the saints. I'm not going to be caught up in the newest one is The Voice. You know, I thought that was a TV show now. There were people, but that's the newest version that's out there, The Voice. And it sold a lot because they basically gave it away so they could get it into more gullible Christians' hands. We've got to stand. The church has bought into modernism. We've denied the essential things of the faith. Now we're being swayed by music. That's the great attack of the devil on the church right now. I was reading through a magazine of a fellowship, and I'll not mention who it was, but I was reading through the magazine. There was an advertisement of that church, someone in that fellowship that was looking for an assistant pastor down in Texas or Arkansas or somewhere. It said, we're looking for a worship leader for our church that can lead us in a blended service. Now, for those of you that know, a blended service is a compromising service. You sing traditional music, like we sing here out of the hymn book, but you also sing contemporary songs and introduce them to the congregation. Now, what that's doing is that's the first step to throwing the traditional music out. That's what they do. They introduce this first, then they throw the other stuff out as the older crowds age out. You say, what's happening? They're introducing new, the world's music. They're adapting the music. And again, I've been disheartened as I've gone on YouTube and looked at some of our major Bible colleges and institutions and see them starting to use that kind of music and bring it in. And they're the ones that are training our future pastors and our future missionaries. They're not being taught to stand. They're not being taught to be faithful, but to give in and to be wavering. There's dangerous times ahead. The church is being deluded, deceived by the devil. And Paul said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Then he says, number three, quit you like men. Be watchful, be faithful, and thirdly, be manful. Be manful. Quit you like men. Now the word quit means simply this, carry yourself, conduct yourself, act like a man. Now, ladies, we don't want to leave you out, so let's simply look at it this way. Be mature. Be grown up. Be spiritually developed. That's what Paul's saying here. Watch you stand fast in the faith. Well, again, we're climbing a ladder. Quit you. Behave yourself like men. Oh, if there's ever a day in the church where people need to act mature, it's now. Look, if you would, back at 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4, as we think about that word, quit you like men. Behave like men. Act like men. I think the common phrase today, the modern terminology is man up. Man up. Be like a man. Act like a man. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, the Philistines used this term as they were afraid and fearful of the army of Israel. And so their leader said in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 9, be strong and quit yourselves like men. Now this word quit doesn't mean, as we commonly use it, give up. He's saying be strong and quit yourselves like men. Behave yourself. Conduct yourself like men. O you Philistines, that you be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. All right, so obviously quit doesn't mean withdraw. It's talking about conduct yourself as men and fight. If we're going to be watchful, if we're going to be faithful, we've got to be manful. We've got to be mature. We've got to realize that this Christian life is a battle. Lester Roloff used to say, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. And the Christian life to many is nothing more, Brother Eric, you'll understand, than junior church. Junior church is fine for juniors. It's not junior church for grown adults. But we want to sing the little songs like the kids do. Nothing wrong with the kids singing those little choruses. Adults ought to be a little bit more mature. We ought to be singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. We ought to be singing there is a fountain filled with blood. Not little, as we call them, 7-11 songs where you're repeating seven words 11 times over and over again and swaying back and forth and look at, you know, that's childish, silly nonsense. Thank you, John. And Paul's telling the church in Corinth many years ago, grow up. Grow up. Be adult. Don't be easily offended. Oh, well, someone didn't shake hands with me. Grow up. Well, someone looked at me wrong. Grow up. Well, I'm not sure. So, they said something. I'm not sure. Grow up. Now, folks, I don't mean to be harsh at this. And some of these things, sometimes things happen to us. But Paul's saying simply this. He's saying, quit yourselves like men. Don't be like children any longer. Look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians. Look back at chapter 3 and we'll see this is exactly what Paul was saying. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Preachers have said this, that anymore the church is nothing but a nursery for adults. We've taken the church and made it an entertainment center. It's like we've got to sit the kid in front of the television. Well, now you've got to sit the adults in front of a stage and put on a performance. No longer can we listen to the preaching of the Word of God. We can't get the meat. We need the milk. And that's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, talking to the church at Corinth. He said, "And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." You know what Paul was saying to the church at Corinth? "I fed you with milk. It's time for you to be eating meat. It's time for you to develop teeth. It's time for you to have grown up, and you haven't." He said in verse 2, "I fed you with milk and not with meat, and for hitherto you're not able to bear it, neither yet are you now able." Verse 3, "For you are yet carnal." Isn't that just a picture of today's church? Carnality. Entertainment. Making it look as much like the world as we possibly can. You know what Paul said? Grow up. Quit you like men. Look at over at chapter 13. I know you know this verse. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul's talking to the church about the necessity of charity. The necessity of charity. And again, charity is a love that gives. A love that causes us to do something. And as he's talking to the church at Corinth that didn't have that, he says this in verse number 11 of chapter 13. He says to the church, "Church, when I was a child, I spake as a child." You know why he's telling them? Because that's the way they're behaving. That's the way they're acting. He said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." You and I should be maturing in our faith. We should be growing up in our faith. We should not be so easily offended. And again, I'm not saying that sometimes somebody might not say something or do something that's offensive. That's going to happen. But how we react shows our development in the faith. Folks today, church folks today are so easily hurt, so easily offended, and will run and duck tail the minute something doesn't go exactly the way they want it to go. What is the answer there? They're not mature in the faith. They haven't grown up. You and I need to be a little bit different than that. We need to quit you, the Bible says, quit you like men. Be watchful. Be faithful. Be manful. Verse 13, be powerful. He says at the end of verse 13, be strong. Be strong. This command is given three times in the New Testament. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 13, it says, be strong. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, Ephesians 6, verse 10, the Bible says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Be strong. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Paul had to say three times in the New Testament to believers, "Be strong. Be strong." Today we put a lot of emphasis on physical strength, making the body all that it ought to be. And we neglect spiritual strength. We don't exercise ourselves unto godliness. And that's what we should be doing. If we're following, "Be watchful, be faithful, be manful, be powerful," we're going to focus on making sure we are developing ourselves spiritually the way God wants us to, lest we not become needful of these commandments all the time. Four times in the book of Joshua, the Bible says, "Be strong and of a good courage." Be strong and of a good courage. Your faith and mine is not always going to be popular in this world. And taking a stand, as it said in Stand Fast in the Faith, taking a stand sometimes is not going to be popular. And it'd be easy to back down. Be easy to stand back. It'd be easy to water it down. And that's the trend of Christianity in believers today. Being afraid to offend. Being tolerant. Being tolerant of sin. Being tolerant of ungodliness. Being tolerant of wickedness. That's not what the Bible's talking about. It's talking about standing fast in the faith. It's talking about being strong in the Lord. All these things, the lack of these commandments in the church has caused a very, can I say it, effeminate church. It's caused a very soft church. The church is not what it was 100 years ago when it stood against the world and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ as the Savior from sin. Now when a preacher gets up and preaches about sin, you got half the people looking at you like they don't understand what that word means. Because we've watered everything down. As one popular preacher said, "Well, I don't use that word sin anymore." That's the problem. We need to be strong in the Lord. We need to be powerful. We don't need to be weak spiritually. We don't need to water down the truths of the Word of God. We need to be strong. Now, lest you think that keeping the commands of God regarding the faith is going to make you some kind of tyrant, some kind of heavy-handed, mean, Westboro Baptist kind of person, if you know what I'm talking about there. Lest you think that that's what he's talking about when he says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." He gives the fifth commandment, and again, I believe the top rung in the ladder, in verse number 14. "Let all your things be done with charity." Charity, again, is not love. Charity is love in action. The Bible uses the word love when it means love. It uses the word charity when it's talking about more than just an emotion, more than just a proclamation. It's talking about a love that produces something. You know what they call when you see the panhandler, you see the homeless fellow, I don't mean to be derogatory, but I'm saying when you see that person on the street, you know what they're asking for? They're asking for charity. Now that word has made people afraid of the word charity in the Bible, but isn't that exactly what it is? That you're moved to do something. Not just walk around saying, "Well, I care about people and I love people," but you're moved to do something about it. That's charity in the Bible. And here in verse number 14 it says, "Let all things be done with charity. Watch ye with charity. Stand fast in the faith with charity. Quit you like men with charity. Be strong with charity." See, if you do those four things without charity, you become a tyrant. You become something no one's going to listen to, no one's going to accept, because, as the old saying is, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You know, I have gotten away with saying things from this pulpit that a lot of congregations would not allow their pastor to get away with. But you know how I get away with it? Because you know that I love you. And you know, sometimes maybe I'm just not wording something right, and it might come across as offensive, but you know I didn't mean that. You know why? Because you know that there's charity. A love that gives. We give for one another. And that's what Paul is saying here. He said, if you've got all these things, these other things, if you're watchful and faithful and manful and powerful, but not careful, full of care one for another, then you'll destroy the other elements of that ladder. He told the church at Corinth, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, but in all things, let all your things be done with charity. Look, if you would, again over at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 15. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 15. Paul says, but speaking the truth in love, you may grow up unto Him in all things which is the head, the Christ. Speaking the truth in love. There are those that are speaking the truth without love. God hates gays. Those statements that they make, God damn America. I don't know why I did that. That's not truth anyways. But they're saying things they believe and there's no love. Some people are speaking truth without love. Some people are speaking love without truth. And that's a picture of the modern day church. Don't bring in a doctrine. Don't believe in anything. Don't be firm. Don't be solid. Don't be believing on any certain one thing. We all have to give in and accept everybody in the banner of love. You know, that was the hippies thing in the 60s. Now it's the church's thing in this 21st century. Paul said, let all your things be done with charity. We believe Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. We have to faithfully proclaim Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. That doesn't mean we don't love the people that we tell are lost and dying and going to hell. We believe certain things that violate the Word of God are wrong, and we have to stand for what we know that's wrong. But it doesn't mean we don't love their soul and hope that they'll get saved. There has to be a balance there. Paul had to tell the church, you've got to be watchful, you've got to be faithful, you've got to be manful, you've got to be powerful, but you've got to be careful. You've got to let all your things be done with charity. How are we doing with these balance of things? Again, if people know that we love them, but we don't stand for truth, we really don't love them. We've got a friend or a loved one that's close to us and we're afraid to tell them that Jesus loved them and died on the cross for their sins so they can go to heaven. And we say that we love them, but we don't warn them. We don't really love them. But how can you love somebody and just stand back and watch them go to hell? But we've got to have the elements of truth. We've got to watch and protect the faith. We've got to stand. We've got to be strong. We've got to quit ourselves like men. We've got to be mature in the faith. Paul's five commandments to today's Christian, written many years ago, but just as timely as if he'd written them this morning. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, tonight we thank You for Your Word, as we've said, which is completely up to date. God, these five things that You wrote to the church at Corinth many years ago,